Fantasy TV.
My so much depends on the Spirit of God, moment by moment, to help me through these broadcasts. I mean, in life too, but especially these broadcasts, because I'm aware of the responsibility of a teacher. I take it very seriously. It makes me a little nervous. I'm always very not frightened, but I'm always very trepidatious. Right before I come here to talk to you, but right after the trepidation and before the camera comes on, I know that God is here and He is directing me, and He's given me a conscience, and He's given me a really sensitive spirit. This is why on Friday, after I turned the microphone off, I was thinking about that Isaiah 66:7 passage. I was getting so upset at the passage. Like, I was mad at God for writing that. What do you mean before she even has pangs, she gives birth? And then later you say she travails and gives birth. They were just like, why? Why is this so strangely worded? Why is this so odd? And so it's vexatious, and yet we have to work through it. And so God wouldn't let me rest. I had to make another teaching on it to correct, also to amplify what I said before. So it's the same with every single show. It's going to be the same today as I go through Jeremiah 31. I have an interpretation that I know you've never heard before. It has to do with secret Israel. Remember, there's an obvious Israel and there's a secret Israel called Christians who are living in the West. And generally, they're everywhere, scattered all over the earth, Amos 9:9. But they are going to be awakened. And they're not going to be overnight success because they have struggled. And we're going to see that here in Jeremiah 31. So what I'm doing again is I'm leading up to Jeremiah 31:31. Let me just go there real quick so you can see. Maybe I should have not assumed that you know what Jeremiah 31:31 says. It's a very popular verse. Behold, the days are coming, averring is Yahweh, when I will contract a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There we go, both houses. Oh, I can't wait to get to Ezekiel 37, hopefully tomorrow. Not like the covenant which I contracted with their fathers in the day I held fast onto their hand to bring them forth from the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they themselves annulled, while I was possessor over them, averring is Yahweh. For this is the covenant which I shall contract with the house of Israel after those days, averring is Yahweh. I will put my law within them. Here it is. You recognize this. I will put my law within them. I shall write it on their heart. I will become their Elohim. They shall become my people. No longer shall they teach each man his associate and each man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. For they all shall know me, from the smallest of them to the greatest of them, averring is Yahweh. I shall pardon their depravity. This is an Israel gospel truth. Pardon, forgiveness. This is not justification. I shall pardon their depravity, and I shall not remember their sin any longer. So this is the coming of the new covenant. And so I have wanted to start with verse 1 of Jeremiah and bring you the entire context relating it to Isaiah chapter 66 of a nation being born in one day. Again, relating it to the upper room experience of Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit blows and just blasts and changes everything in a moment. This is going to happen in a moment. And I don't want anybody to say, Martin, you're ignoring our calling. Why are you talking about Israel so much? Because God talks about Israel so much. But this is not ignoring our calling, because what are we seeing here? We're seeing God acting in one day on Israel. And we know for a fact that it's going to be that way with us. And before He does this with Israel, He's going to have to deal with us. He's going to have to snatch us away before He takes up with Israel again. For callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. Romans 11, verse 25. Just as the deliverance of the whole world depends on the deliverance of the sons of God, so does the deliverance of Israel depend on the deliverance of the body of Christ. Geez, we're the sons of God and the body of Christ. Everything's waiting for us. Not only Israel, but the whole world. On us, of all people. It's astounding. Absolutely astounding. So, in Jeremiah, I left off speaking of the clarified oil. Oh, the wording of God, the poetry here. Verse 12, they will come and be jubilant on Zion's height. Yeah, I left off. You remember that? Zion, the actual location in Israel where King David's dwelling place was. And they will beam over the bounty of Yahweh, over the grain, over the grape juice. I love grape juice. I like grape juice better than wine. I don't know. It's just so beautiful. Clarified oil. I love clarified oil. I put it on my salad whenever I can. Clarified oil. I have clarified oil in my car, too. It's just great stuff. Over the young of the flock and the herd, their soul will become like a well-watered garden. They shall not continue to pine. Yeah, I remember that from Friday. Pining. No more pining. No more pining. The virgin shall rejoice in the chorus, and the choice young men and elders shall be exhilarated. I will turn their mourning into elation and comfort them and make them rejoice from their affliction. I will satiate the soul. This is new territory now. I'm in Isaiah. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 14. I will satiate the soul of the priests which with richness. The priests. This is future. The priests. This is an Israel call. There are no priests in the body of Christ. We are not priests, and we do not require the service of priests. This is all new covenant, and this is future, and this is Israel's gospel, and it has walls around it. It is well defined, and I just can't stand it when people tear it down and say there's only one gospel. Think of what you're doing. You're throwing out the entire Jeremiah 31, and you're throwing out Ezekiel, as we're going to see. You're throwing out all the prophets. You're throwing out Matthew, Mark, Jude, Luke, John. I mean, how much damage do you one gospel people want to do to the scriptures? How much damage do you want to do to God's character, to the God who doesn't lie? Answer me that. I will satiate the soul of the priests. Goes back to what I told you Friday, 1 Peter 2:9. You're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. What do you know? The word of God is consistent. Peter, Jeremiah, what do they have in common? They're Israelites who have not, like Paul, thrown away their nationality, considered it as refuse. They embrace it. They hold on to it tightly because you got to show your Israel card to get into that kingdom, and especially if you're going to sit on one of those 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How obvious can you get? I will satiate the soul of the priests. You notice how I read that three times? With richness. And my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, appearing as Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh. Now we're looking back. A sound in Ramah is heard, a plaint, a complaint, and bitter lamentation. Rachel lamenting over her sons. This is the prophecy concerning those babies who were killed by Herod when he was trying to kill the king of Israel in his infancy. Rachel lamenting over her sons. She refuses to be comforted over her sons, for they are not. This is death. Death is people who are not. Thus says Yahweh, withhold your voice from lamentation and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your effort. Averring is Yahweh. When they will return from the lands of the enemy, return from the land of the enemy. This is all about the regathering of Israel, the calling from the north, from the west. What's the other two left? Oh, the east and the south, and bringing God's people to Zion in the shocking move of God. This is the next shocking move of God is going to be a secret movement. It's going to be the snatching away. The next shocking movement of God after that will be him bringing the true Israel forth from where it was scattered. And here's another reference to it. When they will return from the land of the enemy, and there is expectation for your posterity, appearing as Yahweh. Jeremiah is writing to his contemporaries, and unfortunately these things are not going to happen to the people to whom Jeremiah is writing, but it will happen to their posterity, which is the people alive today, appearing as Yahweh. When your sons will return to their territory, your sons, those who are obvious Israelites, and those who are secret Israelites, those who are in the land, and those who are scattered over the entire face of the earth. Those in the temples, those in the churches. I have heard, yea, heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. Okay, this is where I have something for you today. I think that there... Oh, I just thought of something else. I think there is going to be such lamentation among Christianity. Right now, I'll make it personal. I'm thinking about my own son who doesn't believe anything that I teach. And he's trying to make a name for himself. He wouldn't put it that way. I'm sorry, Paul. He wouldn't put it that way. He's trying to serve God. Honestly, is with a good heart. He's trying to serve God. And yet he's bought every doctrine of demons to come down the pike. Free will, eternal torment, and the Trinity. But again, he has a heart for God. These are two of the categories. Remember, there are religious unbelievers, there are worldly unbelievers. But even among the religious unbelievers, I broke those down into two subdivisions, which are the totally callous ones, the ones who really don't care. They're posers. That's the word I used. And then there are those who are sincere. And my son Paul is sincere. And many, many Christians, I would say the overwhelming majority, are sincere. They're just deceived. They're forever learning, never coming to a realization of the truth. They don't love the truth enough. The lie is just too popular. It's too attractive. Yet they really think they're serving God. You know, they cry at the name of Jesus. They sing songs and they cry and they weave and bob and wander about their sanctuaries. But it's all for naught. And I think that when the Spirit of God moves, when this uproom experience happens, I think the first reaction will not be one of exaltation. It will be Rachel lamenting over her sons. I think it will be people refusing to be comforted at first, because there are going to be regrets. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I just think of my son Paul after he realizes what has happened. His dad's been snatched away. His dad was in the body of Christ. All the material was presented to him. He was raised in the truth, and he's going to realize he missed it. And it's going to be like Peter weeping at the realization that he had denied his Lord. And Peter wept bitterly. So this prophecy concerning Rachel lamenting over her sons and refusing to be comforted and having a plaint, that is a complaint and bitter lamentation, I think that not only applies to those mothers and families who lost their children to Herod in the slaughter of the innocents, but I think it has to do with those Christians who are sincere but lost, sincere but deceived. And when they wake up, the first thing they're going to realize is that they betrayed their Lord. They never knew their Lord. You know, and I'm wondering now, live on camera, if when Jesus says, "Depart from me, workers of lawlessness, I never knew you," I wonder if there will be a complaint about that. Wait, Lord. You remember when Jesus said to the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, they said, "Come with us, please come with us." He goes, no, I'm moving on. I'm sorry, I'm not going to come. "No, please, Lord, stay with us. The day is late. We have nice food at our place. Put some coffee on." Okay. I'm wondering if when the Lord says, "Depart from me, workers of lawlessness, I never knew you," I wonder if some of them will say, "God, Lord, yes, you're right." And with tears and with pleadings, "Yes, you're right. You didn't know us, and we didn't know you. And we deserve to depart from you because we rejected your truth at every turn. And yet, Lord, please save us from ourselves." I'm just wondering. Just as Peter probably thought, "Lord, you should have no part of me now. I've done it. I'm not worthy to live." That's what Peter would have thought after he betrayed his Lord. "I'm not worthy to live." He wept bitterly. Why do you think he wept bitterly? Because he felt like he had turned on him, which he did. Rachel lamenting over her sons, refusing to be comforted. But what does Yahweh say? Verse 16, Jeremiah 31, withhold your voice from lamentation and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward. When they will return from the land of the enemy, and there is expectation for your posterity, averring is Yahweh, when your sons will return to their territory. Listen to this, verse 18. I have heard, yea, heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. This is the future lamentation of Christians, our friends and our family, realizing that they missed it, that you're gone, that you were right, and that they are now facing the tribulation. I have heard, yea, heard Ephraim. Ephraim was the name of the house of Israel. These are the Christians. These are the ones scattered in accordance with Amos 9:9. I have heard, yea, heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have disciplined me. This is what Ephraim is saying in his pain. And remember, Ephraim is the house of Israel, not the house of Judah, the house of Israel. I have heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. And here's what Ephraim is saying. You have disciplined me. And I am disciplined like a calf, not yet taught. This is Peter crying out to God, why am I so stubborn? This is my son Paul. You have disciplined me, and I am disciplined like a calf, not yet taught. Restore me, and let me return. Please restore me. This is the realization that they have all been playing church. They've all been playing games, and now the cry from their heart, like Rachel weeping for her children, please, we're bemoaning ourselves. I have heard, yea, heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have disciplined me, but I never learned. I didn't take it. And there's my dad's book sitting on the shelf. And there's that anguish like Peter experienced. Restore me, please let me return. And this might be the wail of people who hear the Lord say, well, I never knew you workers of lawlessness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. They won't let him go. They won't let him go. Just like the disciples wouldn't let him go. The Lord said, I'm leaving. You're done. Sorry, I'm going. No, Lord, please stay with us. And they prevailed upon him. They prevailed upon him. And many people were desperate. The Lord refused to help that woman who came to her. It's not right for her to give. It's not right to give the bread of the children to the dogs. And she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the scraps from the master's table. And he marvels at these people who pursue him. And there's even a verse that says concerning prayer that they come after him and come after him and come after him, and because they won't let him go. They won't let him go. The disciples would not let him turn around and keep going down the road. No, you're going to stay with us. And they prevailed upon him. And I see these people saying, please restore us, let us return, for you are Yahweh, my Elohim. Indeed, after my captivity, I'm in verse 19 now, indeed, after my captivity, I repented. And after I was informed, I'm reading scripture here, just Jeremiah 31, 19. After I was informed, I slapped my thigh in grief. After I was informed, after I knew, after the Spirit came and I saw that my dad was gone and my dad was right, I slapped my thigh in grief. I am ashamed and mortified indeed. These are your friends and your family members after they realize you've been snatched away. All the fun and games of Christianity are over. It's all seen to be a loss. It is all seen to be empty. And there they are. And they're naked before God. And they're the two categories. The posers who will screw the whole thing, flip God off and say, you never knew us, we never knew you, we don't care, we're out of here. We're going to join the beast. But there are these, there are the ones who are softened. Remember the other two categories. There are those who are hardened, and there are those who are softened by the tribulation, by the spiritual movement of God that will be so obvious in those days. I'm ashamed, mortified indeed, for I bear the reproach of my youth. This is their youth when they played games. They played church games. While we were serious, we're students, we're digging into the Word all the time, and we're going to conferences, and they probably think we're all nuts. They're playing their little games in church, and they will admit it. They will admit it. I bear the reproach of my youth. And then God speaking again, is Ephraim my precious son? Is he a child of bliss? For as often as I speak against him, I remember. Yea, remember him still. Therefore, says the Lord, my internal parts clamor for him. I have compassion, yea, compassion on him. Averring is Yahweh. Set up for yourself cairns. Those are piles of stones that mark important places in the land. Make for yourselves signposts. Set your heart on the highway, the way you went along. Return, virgin of Israel. Return to these cities of yours. How long will you make yourself elusive, backsliding daughter? For Yahweh has created a new thing on the earth. Yahweh has created a new thing on the earth. And they are going to, in that day, recognize it. And their first reaction is going to be one of grief and shock and anguish and pain and weeping. And yet, what does God say? And by the way, this is what Joseph did to his brothers before he restored them. He put them to grief. And they wept and they regretted and they slapped their thigh. This wording in the scripture is exquisite. I slapped my thigh in grief. I'm ashamed and mortified indeed. And those brothers were ashamed and they were mortified and they feared for their lives. And after Joseph had put them through that ringer, he then restored them. He said to them, are you not my brothers? Are you not my own blood? Now, this is God speaking to Ephraim, to the house of Israel. Is Ephraim my precious son? Is he a child of bliss? For as often as I speak against him, and we have spoken against our friends and relatives, the organizations they're in, as often as I speak against him, I remember, yea, remember him still. Therefore, my internal parts clamor for him. God cannot deny those whose hearts eventually, finally, thank you, beat for him. I have compassion and compassion. I have compassion, yea, compassion on him. Averring is Yahweh. And this is going to be a signpost. And this is going to be a signpost, a cairn on the road of an Aeonian trail that God is blazing. And we are going to be witnesses of it. And our friends and our family members, my son Paul, if he doesn't see the truths of the body of Christ before this time, he is going to see it then. I'm convinced of it. And maybe that's his call, to be one of Israel. It's okay. I got to be good with it because it's God's way. I have to be good with this. And so do you with your loved ones, because whatever God does with them, it's his way.